In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There was this woman named Katie. She lived next door to a young man in his early 20s. He had two children. He was a single dad. And he had led a lifestyle that would have been the complete opposite of her understanding of godly. She was a Mennonite. If you aren't familiar with what that is, that's someone who is Amish with a car. They're a little more lenient. They have vehicles and electricity, and they live along the edge of the modern world with some very strong convictions of what it means to be followers of Jesus. And she lived next to this young man who was barely scraping by, and she would do things for him for no reason at all. She would accidentally bake extra biscuits and put them in a basket and bring them over to the house. And from time to time, she would notice things were a little slim, so she would invite the young man and the children over to her house for dinner, knowing full well he could do nothing in return. Knowing full well that from her perspective of her understanding of her faith and a godly life, this person lived completely outside of that understanding. But she just followed her understanding of what Jesus is saying today. They understood, she and her husband understood what Jesus was trying to teach in these parables. This concept of how to not just be approaching God. He uses the parable, of course, of a banquet. But he's really pointing out, where have you been invited? Through Jesus Christ, we have been invited to be children of God. We've been invited to the great banquet. And he says, come humbly, is what he's saying to us. Come humbly. In our lectionary, it takes us back to verse 1 in chapter 14 to give us context so we don't forget where Jesus is. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. And then we jump ahead to verse 7. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And he goes on to explain that you may then face the reality the host may have to come to you and say, you need to move. Now, considering the time in which Jesus is walking this earth, this was sort of a big deal. We don't do it as much now. It's certainly not as much in our society. We're very conscious of equality. Yes? Yes. So a distinguished guest is a rare thing in our society. But in this society, it was very normal. So there were those who thought very highly of themselves, and those who didn't think much of themselves. And then there, of course, were those who were just arrogant in some level. They would go to the banquet, and they would just assume that they were the guest of honor. Now, in the way we practice our faith today, and the way in which some of our more evangelical friends would speak of Jesus and our relationship with him, we might get the opinion that we are very distinguished guests. And I would say to some degree that is true. But the distinguished guest is Jesus, always. He calls us and invites us. But what this parable is saying, come humbly. Come humbly to that which Jesus has invited you to. And remember the most important thing. Without him, we are nothing. We are nothing. Maybe in a much easier way to understand, brothers and sisters, this is not about you. I know that's hard to take. I really want it to be about me. But it's really just about Jesus. So we come humbly, and then he goes forward. As he goes into verses 12 through 14, to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. It's talking about our motivation, isn't it? Why are you doing the things you do? Are you posturing in this society? Are you posturing before God? Are you saying, I'm going to do all the right things? I'm going to be a good Christian. Or maybe, and maybe you know someone like this, maybe it's just good enough for me to be a good person and make sure all the other people that I think are good see me being one. Maybe that would be enough. Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe if I'm going to invite someone to dinner, I'm going to choose someone that I want them to invite me. Or if I'm going to invite someone to dinner, I want that to be a tool that I can use to gain more status with them, because maybe I believe that person has some form of status. And Jesus is saying to them, that's not how it should be. Now, he could have had multiple motivations, even one being the fact that he knew that he himself, Jesus, being invited to this dinner was in itself a trick, wasn't it? Wasn't the host really just trying to get him there so that he could break him down and make him look like a fool so everyone would then turn against him? That really was primarily the Pharisees' motivations when they interacted with Jesus. And maybe we would do the same. And maybe our motivation would be to have someone around us who we consider to be less than us so that we can feel better. And Jesus is saying that's not what it is. He's saying first, in the first parable, you come humbly to the place where you're invited. In the second parable, I believe he's telling us, pay very close attention to your motivation for what you do. And if you're going to throw a banquet or a luncheon or have a meal, don't go inviting the people that are going to somehow benefit you. Because shockingly, in this parable, I'm finding out, this one's not about me either. This is all pointing to something other than me, which is a little hard to take, because we grew up in a society where it's supposed to be all about us. Amen? I mean, that's where we grew up. It was a little different growing up. I was the youngest of six kids. It was never about me. They all tell you that's different. Oh, you're the baby, you're special. At this point, I just tell them, obviously, get over it. So the concept of being special didn't really, I was just another face in a crowd. I mean, you could show my mother a bunch of baby pictures, she couldn't even tell you which one's which. She probably should have wrote it down. So I'm used to sort of blending a little bit, and I'm okay with blending, I'm good at it, and I think many of you are too. You know, I can always tell the sure sign that we are all trying to not be the one that it's about when we have a dinner here. Everybody's afraid to go first. Did you notice that? That's actually a good thing. It's really actually a good thing. Sometimes another thing happens. People will wait because they think I'm supposed to say something before we eat. That's not going to happen. If you're waiting for me, you can starve to death. I'm always out wandering somewhere else. You probably figured that out already. If you need me to start something, you better come get me before it's supposed to start. So, because I don't think about it. I think that the community moves well and should move well. But we can look at this concept of what he's saying, and maybe we could apply it. If sometimes I'll, after a Sunday morning, after one of my sermons, people go, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's rare. But every once in a while, somebody comes up and says, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know what to do. And to be honest with you, I always feel like I've given opportunity. So I leave kind of an open-end question sometimes, don't I? What do I do with this information? Yeah, I hear what Father Brian's saying, the two or three people who get that, and they're wondering, now what do I do today? What happens? And I was having a conversation with some brothers from the Brotherhood of St. Andrew, and they had this opportunity to go out and give lunches to some homeless folks. And in a follow-up conversation, the conversation became, well, maybe we could create a hot meal and invite these folks in need for a hot meal. And I said, I think that's a wonderful idea. And they said, when do you think we should do that? I said, we already do. Every Wednesday, we have a hot meal available to anybody who walks through the door. Go and invite them. Now, when I throw that out there, that's not initially something people are excited about. But I would say to you, on Wednesday evening, you want practical application, brothers and sisters. Wednesday evening, we have a feast. We feast, we have food, we have fellowship, and we have the Word of God that we feast on every Wednesday night. What more could you ask for? The conversation was, well, what else could we provide if they came? What more could we provide than that? Well, they may need other things. I said, they do need other things. But you know what? You can get other things anywhere. Because that's what we do, isn't it? It's like we see somebody in need, you say, okay, wait, they need new clothes, or they need socks, or they need shoes. And all of that might be true. Don't misunderstand me. All that probably is true. What I need most, I would go barefoot everywhere as a choice, but just as an analogy, I would go barefoot everywhere as long as I had the opportunity to be in fellowship with other people, to be in fellowship with God's people especially. Nothing else other than my relationship with God Himself could be more important to me, to know that I can go someplace where I belong, where I can be loved and cared for and acknowledged as a full human being. So there are a lot of places that provide a lot of things for a lot of people who are in need. And it's a good thing. And we do it here all the time, don't we? We got our baskets in the narthex. We've got six of them now, because I don't like cardboard boxes. But they're out there, right? So at any given time, you can bring things for people in need. And I'd say, do it. We should do it, but we need to check our motivation for it. Are we just doing enough so we know we've done something without, kind of getting our hands dirty? Or should we be listening more closely to what Jesus is saying? When you throw a banquet, when you have a luncheon, when you have a dinner, invite who? He's kind of specific, isn't he? But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And I would add in there the lonely, the single parent, the widow, the widower, the orphan, people who can benefit from the fact that we offer the one thing that many other places can't offer, the love of Christ. We have every tool available to us, and most of them are already being used and they're in our hands. The question is, can we tweak them just a little bit to become tools for the expansion of the kingdom of God? Just a little bit. How easy could that be? How easy can it be to walk to the gas up to the gas station on the corner, where you will probably encounter a Robert sitting on the curb, usually has his bicycle and a backpack, and just say, Robert, it's Wednesday. You should come two blocks north on Valrico Road at 6 o'clock and have dinner with me. And when he walks in the door, sit down and have dinner with him. That's some practical advice. That's an application. What might it look like? Well, the one thing I'll promise you is it'll be messy. It'll just be messy. You know, thanks be to God, right? All the things that we do as a faith community, good things, incredible things. They've nurtured and empowered us to continue to move forward, to seek God and to seek God's will. And I would say, there's still more. But there's always going to be more, isn't there? The more we do, the more God will give us to do. The more people we engage with and love and care for, the more people He will give us to love and care for. And it'll be beautifully messy. But that's what He's saying, isn't it? We can continue to throw ourselves parties if we want. And we still will from time to time, by the way. But what would it look like if this entire banquet was offered to everyone and anyone that we encountered? Most especially those who Jesus points out to. The poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. All the people who aren't supposed to come anywhere near the bread. The people that, if you go back into Leviticus, were directly told, don't touch this. But through Jesus Christ, that has been torn, and the opportunity to come has been given to all. What if we went beyond just a hot meal one day a week? What if we made sure that this banquet that we feast on today, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, was made available to all who are seeking a relationship with God? What if we made it our mission to be sure that they knew that they belonged? All of them. In whatever form they may come. Wouldn't it be glorious? Yes, it would be messy. It might change things here. Pray about it. That's the polite response, yes? Polite response. I would say this. 30 some odd years ago, Miss Katie prayed about it. She saw this mess right next door to her. And thanks be to God, she fed us. Amen.